Good morning, everyone. I appreciate the special music. It's quite inspiring for me, and I'm sure everyone. I'd like to give you my title is Listening for the Trumpet. Now, while I'm going, what can I say after the sermonette? I guess I can cut at least 30 minutes off my sermon. hour and 20 minutes, we'll be out of here. Okay? Yes. So, brethren, are you listening? I hope so. Are you listening? But what are we listening for? You know, this day pictures the culmination of this present evil age. I mean, this age is going to come to a close. This age is going to come quite a climatic close, as Mr. Caping demonstrated and talked about there. You know, this, of course, the trumpet I speak of is the trumpet, the last trump, the return of Jesus Christ. It's a turning point in human history. That's a turning point. We've gone, mankind, and now we're going to make a 90-degree turn at the trump of God. Beginning of a new age. A new age. Nothing less than the return of Christ. If you would, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. There. With a shout and with the voice of the archangel. And with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. See, the dead will rise first. And, you know, I've thought about it, and I've prayed to God, you know, my wife will, if I'm still alive, will rise first. Maybe he could talk to her, you know, give some apologies, or, you know. Hey, he really wasn't, he meant well, you know, kind of. Set the stage there. But then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. So see, we will come after those that have already died previously. Yeah, Christ's return is with a trumpet, blast. Also, we might look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse 52, and we see, I believe we'll see, at the last trumpet. 1 Corinthians 15, 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's very quickly, just in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So apparently it doesn't take a lot of time to raise the dead or to change those who may still be alive. And also in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 31, and he will send his angel, he, Jesus Christ, sounds like part of the seventh seal, if you read that. And he will send his angel with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. In other words, in the heaven, in the sky, in the clouds, not up into the, not from the third heaven, as some have thought. But they'll, in other words, everyone. Wherever we be. You know, there's people in the heavens. I think astronauts are there now. who knows what, who might be there. But brethren, my thesis or my point is prepare now for the blowing of the trumpet. Now is the time for us to prepare. We don't want to wait till, oh, was that the trumpet? Yeah, I should have gone to the store and bought some oil or something. You know, no, now's the time. Now is when we start listening for the trumpet. Now's the time to start listening for the trumpet. We don't know the day or the hour, because we don't know the day or the hour of our death. And at our death, that's the sound of the trumpet for us as an individual. Well, will that sound of the trumpet be a welcome sound, or will it be kind of a fearful sound? You know, it could be good, it could be bad. You know, like if you hear the siren in Moore, Oklahoma, it could be, hey, it's 12 o'clock. They still blow a siren there. Or it could be an F-5 rolling in. So, you know, is it good news? Is it bad news? See, so, you know, when you hear that call, how's it going to sound? Is it going to be rejoicing? Or is it going to be sorrow, maybe even grinding of teeth? You know, it indicates there in the book of Revelation that some people would rather a rock fall on them or a mountain than to face who is coming. You know, so will it come as a shock, a fear, or a time of joy? Mr. Caping talking about should be a time of joy. I hope we're having a time of joy today. Depends on how we prepare, doesn't it? So one of my points is planning ahead for the trumpet blast. We don't want to be surprised by it. It's just not, that's not good to be suddenly surprised. Well, if it's good news, I guess it might be, but I think we're going to have to plan ahead. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25, if you would. Another page over in my Bible from where we were, Matthew 25, and we see the 10 virgins. Now, apparently, these 10 virgins were all, they were all waiting on the bridegroom, weren't they? Says they all had lamps. Apparently, they all had oil in them at one time. You know, they all had oil. They were all slumbering. Even though they were slumbering, some of them prepared. Some did not. In verse 3 of Matthew 25, those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Well, I could have read verse 1. That might help. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. That'd be Jesus Christ. And those who were foolish, they took their lamps. Hey, they had their lamps. I've got my lamp, look. But they didn't take any extra oil. And over time, you know, they'd had... I remember when we had lamps instead of electricity. And I'm a young man, so... Sorry if you don't remember that. But I mean, the circle on the ceiling from the lamp, and you could turn it down real low, and then, you know... And then you trim it, turn it up, and, you know, saving oil. But you had to have a container somewhere to refill it. You know, you needed to be able to refill it. In Leviticus 24, I don't need to turn there, the priests were instructed twice a day to service the lamps, evening and morning. From what I understand, they didn't have to stay up all night checking the lamps, but twice a day. That indicate, you know, the oil, if it represents God's Spirit, we should be checking it twice a day, I think. You think? Morning and at least evening. See, what's our supply? Do we have oil? Or do we need to get some oil? But it says, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. You know, they had extra oil before they went to sleep, or before they were drowsy and dozing off. But in verse 5, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. We've all done that. Well, you know, we thought, yeah, we've got time, we'll take a little nap. But they had oil. They didn't forget to check their lamps twice a day. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Our lamps are going out. We had some oil, but over time, you know, it just kind of burned out. We thought, well, you know, we're going to Walmart next week. Right? We'll get some while we're there, while we're buying the bleach. You know, we'll get some oil. But then all at once, is, you know, as it, just like preparing for the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, yeah, we got, what, we got a year, then we got 6 months. Well, it's still 2 months off. Well, yeah, we need to go. We haven't packed yet. So, you know, it's easy to put things off, but we need to check the oil twice a day, don't we? You know, it's our lamps are going out. So the wise said, then they wanted to borrow oil. We can't ride in with someone else. Well, my mother was real good, and I'm just going to, you know, she's going to take me in. Or my father, my husband, my wife, whoever, or my friend. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. It's not something someone can do for us. We can't be done at the last minute. This kind of knocks in the head the deathbed repentance to me. You know, okay, I'm at the end. You know, like this movie we watched, the guy said, you know, he lost everything through sickness. He said, all I had left was my heart, and I gave it to the Lord. Well, that was good. He was still alive, but, you know, when everything's gone, then the last minute, oh, well, we're going to repent. Well, in Isaiah 55, it says, any who thirsts or is hungry, come to me. And it goes on there, which I won't turn over there, that there is a time when we call on God when He is near. And that time's whenever He has opened your mind and revealed knowledge to you. That's the time when He is near. I don't see a deathbed repentance there. We have to respond when God does the calling. And while they, verse 10, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. That's not a good thing. The door shut. We went and got our oil, and, you know, the train's already left. And, you know, in these movies, a lot of times, the loving couple, they'll have a spat, and one of them takes off, and they're getting on the plane, and the other one's running and going through everything, trying to get there before they get on. Then they get there, and the plane's taking off. That's kind of the way this would be. And, you know, we've got the oil now. We're all ready. No. And the virgins came saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And, you know, back in Revelation 3, I believe it is, it says that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Well, if he's knocking, he's not busting down the door. It's not an invasion. What they call those type of invasions they're doing now, some kind of violent invasion where they just bust in. No, he's knocking. Someone has to open the door. And he said, if you open the door, then he'll come in and have dinner with you or supper. But we have to open it. And we have to have supper in there, don't we? He said, I'll sup with you. If he comes in, well, we didn't get anything. But he answered, said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. So, because they weren't replacing God's Spirit. When you had, he's like he's saying, when you had time, you didn't get acquainted with me. I don't know you. We never got acquainted. How do we get acquainted? We have to spend some time. If you're going to get acquainted with someone, you have to spend time with them and get to know them. You know, it seems that in verse 3, as we read, the unwise, they live for today. I'm satisfied where I am, what I am. I'm doing okay. I've gotten comfortable here. I've managed to keep the Sabbath without too much harassment. And, you know, I'm getting by. My boss is letting me off, or my mate. I'm just getting by. I'm okay. But it seems any reward has trials that go with it. See, we had to determine, is it worth it? It is worth it. You know, you can be a rock. You can't hurt a rock, can you? You can just be rock. You mean you can crush it, and it's still just a rock. It can't be hurt. So anything that has a reward, we are making ourselves vulnerable in certain ways. The rock can't be hurt, but we should be soft and pliable. We don't want to have this stony heart. So we need to be able to continue on. You know, as it would say, you know, the wise look beyond, there in verse 4, beyond the present situation. Whatever your situation, whatever my situation is, but the wise look beyond the present situation, not satisfied with what oil they had. Well, I think I've come far enough. I believe I'll be okay. But as you know, even if you're 6 years old, it comes in stages. You learn. Okay, you learn your ABCs, then you're good? No, then you go to the next step. We're the same way spiritually. We think, yeah, I'll learn this. And we think, oh, I've got it. No, then there's another step. And God mercifully gives it to us that way. If he gave us the whole load, well, you know, we'd just be covered up and that'd be the end. So things don't move along like we think. We can't just really say, I think I'll just sit and wait for God to give it to me. You know, he's going to hand it to me. Sometimes we do need to wait on God, but we have to ask, have I done and taken advantage of what God has put before us? Or we just lack faith and drive to move forward? You're either gaining and shrinking. My dad always said in business, you're either growing or you're declining. You got to decide. If you're on the decline, you're eventually going in. You got to keep growing. That's just common knowledge. And that's the reason there's all this advertisement on TV and radio. They want to keep growing. They stop advertising and the company declines, generally. So in verse 6, when did this happen? At midnight. Yeah, their lamps needed to be turned on. It happened at midnight. Darkness. Time not expected. As I think it was John Eliot in the sermon, he's going to tell us when Christ is going to turn. I can tell you when, he said. The answer is when you don't expect it. So that's it. So now you know the day. When you don't expect it, do you? But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and they all slept. Okay. Sometimes we do need to wait, but be sure we're using what God has given us. And we're not just sitting there. Notice it came at midnight. It's hard to know. You know, if it's dark and it's midnight, if you don't know where you are, you kind of wake up. You don't know, well, where am I? You don't know your way around. So it's a time of darkness, and you're going to need that lamp. So you need to prepare now for that blowing of the trumpet. The lamps were going out. You know, they need to be tended beforehand. So while the foolish ones went to buy, the event happened. A time when you don't expect. You know, has our knowledge and faith and understanding reached a stall? Well, I've learned a lot. I'm kind of in a stall. You know what happens when an aircraft takes off and it's climbing, and when it goes into a stall, it starts falling. It's at a free fall. I know. I've been there. I've been in a free fall. It's not good. You're going to hit rather suddenly. You know, when if you stall out, you're going to start falling. You know. So we have to grow in the truth. So are we listening as God reveals more knowledge to His church? Are we paying attention? Or are we just kind of in a stall right now? Yeah, I've been there, sitting on what we know. And it's, to me, it's very easy to get into. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would. Please, 2 Peter chapter 3. Yeah, I think that's after James. I just got to keep digging. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 3. And notice it says, beware. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved. Well, I'm in chapter 2, but that's a good one. I mean, you just got to take what shows up, right? It's there. Hey, I do have new glasses, but so I can't. Because, you know, like I had said, the words just kept shrinking, so I had to adjust. Chapter 3, verse, but, you know, that was a pretty good one right there. Maybe that was the only scripture inspired this whole thing, and I just skipped through it. Okay, 2 Peter 3, verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your steadfastness, being led away with the error of wicked. But then in verse 18, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory now and forever. So it's a growing process. We don't want to be like those five virgins that all at once wake up, oh, the lamp's going out, and we have nothing to refill them. That would be very tragic. As you think back, maybe you've gone through trials and tests, and you've lost jobs, you've lost mates, no telling what, and then you start sleeping and not checking your lamp. If we're not planning and applying, growing in necessary knowledge, we might say, well, I didn't know that because we haven't been keeping up. Oh, I didn't know that. And God could say, I can't speak for God, but He might say, well, I made it available. You know, look at all the publications we get. I mean, has there ever been a time in history that Christians had available what we have? Maybe so, but it's hard to imagine. He might say, well, it's available, but you were too busy in your own little world to notice. All wrapped up in your little comfort zone to do anything. So, we might think about that. A little bit, you know. Just turning back a little bit I was going 2 Peter 2, verse 13, but not that verse. And we'll receive in 2 Peter 2, 13, and we'll receive the wages of unrighteousness of those who count it pleasure to carouse or reveling in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, reveling in their own deception. In other words, I have this knowledge and I'm just reveling in it. I have all this knowledge. We think, in reality, we've got part of it. Maybe we don't have what God wants. And I don't need to look on to verse 20, but if we've escaped this world, We escape it through the knowledge God gives us. But that's our start. That's how we get started. And then we don't want to lose that. We escape through knowledge. Was that all the knowledge we needed? We don't want to get entangled again like it's talking about in verse 20, 2 Peter 2:20. We don't want to get entangled again, all concerned with this world and our affairs. So we need to keep that in mind and check the oil twice a day. Okay? That's what we're saying. Well, another point I wanted to bring out, prepare for the trumpets may involve some sorrow. Oh, we don't want that, do we? Any sorrow? Well, look at the world. There's sorrow everywhere, and they don't have the Feast of Trumpets. They don't have the knowledge of it. So if we're going to have some sorrow, we should go ahead and have this godly sorrow that may come, will come with conversion. In John 16:22, I should turn there. John 16:22. Yeah, John 16:22. It's just a verse here. Therefore, you now have sorrow. Yeah, we're going to have some sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. The sorrow of this world, man, there's not a joy at the end of the trail so many times. But we always should have that. And all the young people here, I don't want to paint a gloomy picture of sorrow, woe is me, and all this. If I obey God, I'm just going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble whether you follow God or you don't. It's just different kind of trouble. Life has sorrow at times. But that applies to everyone. We just may have sorrow for a different reason. And so we might as well have the good sorrow of changes we have to make. In Romans 15:13, what does it say there? We can find out. Romans 15, if we want to know about some sorrow, if it's worth it, you think? Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of God's Spirit. Well, we could, I don't know if I want to make this sacrifice. Well, and you know, we've talked about this. We had the Word and we had God and they were together. Right? Why in the world would they want to go any farther? They had everything. Why would they want to create all this physical thing, especially us? I'm sure people, as even during the time of Noah, what God said, people have created some sorrow for God. Why would he make that step? Why would we want to make the step out of our comfort zone? He did it, as he said, he so loved the world. It's out of love. When we take that step, it's out of love. And the rewards are fantastic when we take this step. Yeah, we have to change. We have to do a few things. But it is worth it. And God has counted it and knows it's worth it for Christ, who was the Word. He emptied himself of all the glory. Now, why would he do that? Why would you take that step? For love. If we don't have love, we're not going to take those steps, are we? And we're not going to be able to go to the greater things. Let's look in Genesis chapter 12. And here is Abraham. And you know, was he asked to do anything that we're not asked to do? Was Abram at that time? Was he asked to do something that you and I are not asked to do? Genesis chapter 12. God says in verse 1, "Now the Eternal had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you.'" Most everybody here has had to make that decision somehow, some way. Taking persecution from family. It may not last. It didn't last with my family at first. Yeah, it was something else. Then, you know, as time went on, it turned out good. And he said, "You know, if you take this step, I will make you great." Same thing he says to us. If you take this step, I'm going to make you great. Well, we had the same offer. "And I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you." You know, did God know? I don't know. I'm just thinking about this question. Did he know that if Abram stayed there with his family, with his countries, with his buddies, in that relationship, would he been able to withstand the temptations that would come with that? No, he said, you need to move. Same way with us. Sometimes we have to move out of a certain environment to be able to obey God. You know, I had to change work because I knew I could not obey God what I was doing. It was just too much temptation. I maybe could have forced it and made it, but I knew me, I wasn't that strong. You know, what's that song with the guy singing? He said, "I wasn't that strong," you know, with Susie Bell or whoever it was sitting in front of him in class, you know. He wasn't that strong. That's why I am. I wasn't that strong. I had to get out of there, you know. Did God know that? I don't know. God knows. But for some reason, he did it. You know, he said, "I'll make you a great nation." What if he would have refused to move? What if he would have refused that? Would we even known about Abraham, father of the faithful? Well, probably, I don't know if we'd even had his name. We all have to move in some way when God calls us, and then we have to continue to move. Move forward in the truth and in God's way. So Abram departed, verse 4. And we have to ask ourselves, can we remain like we are? No, we need to be preparing. And in preparing, it can bring some sorrow. I'm sure he had sorrow leaving his family, but it was going to be worth it. You know, in our experience with dealing with inmates after release, you know, oh, they're fine, they're zealous. And if they go back to the environment they left, like 80% return in Oklahoma. I don't know what it is. But you've got to get out. I mean, it's just too much. That's why I was with that job. I knew I couldn't do it. You know, I'm not that strong. We can't break bad habits and sin if we stay in the same environment, can we? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would, please. So I got to keep moving. I got to keep this down to an hour and a half. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And, let's see. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 9. "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals or sodomites, nor thieves," all these things. I don't think it leaves probably any of us out here. It says in verse 11, "Because and such were some of you, but you were washed." Okay, we were washed. Okay, we're clean. Now what are we going to do? We're going to go right back and get dirty? you know, again. But you will be justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit, by that Holy Spirit. See, in verse 18 it says, flee sexual immorality. In other words, flee whatever it is that you're going to be inclined to get into trouble in. Whatever that might be. Not everyone has the same sin, but not everyone has the same weaknesses. And so let's look at Psalm 16. We see, if you would, Psalm 16, that we're to be on a path, right? Not a dead end, but a path. You keep following the path, don't you? Keep following the path. You know, in Psalm 16, verse 11, you will show me the path to life. That's what God, I will show you the path to life. Sometimes in life, though, we come to a fork, don't we? And if we're not following God, if our lamps aren't burning, we may take the wrong turn. It may look like a good deal. You know, counterfeit religion can look very real in every way. Otherwise, it would be ineffective if it didn't look like the real thing. So we need that path. It says, you will show me the path of life in your presence of fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So it's not a dead end. It's a great path, you know. And, you know, whatever weakness is, flee from that environment. Get into something where you can work on it till you're strong enough. You know. So God's way brings a new joy. We may lose some of the past joy, but God's way will bring a new joy. Because it says, if we follow this path, you will show me the way. Make known to me. It's a path, you know, it doesn't end there. Also, if you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, it's not something that we can't not do under God's guidance. I can do this. Well, under what circumstances you're in, it may be true, but with God's guidance, and just like he told Abram, you can do it. You can do it. Deuteronomy 30. Yes, Deuteronomy 30 and verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. If God calls us, it's not too mysterious. It's not too far off. It's attainable, and we can do it. And verse 11, I already read that, didn't I? Okay, then how about verse 14? But the word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. The word is very near. Once God opens your mind, he's called you, his word's near. You know, but you got to take the effort to get into it. Of course, we'll be going to the feast. This is going to be, the word's going to be very near. If we bother about going to church during the feast, you know. I hope we do. These poor guys speaking, they probably literally spend hours, if not days, preparing a sermon. And, well, I think I'll go to the beach today. Probably nothing interesting anyway happening. But my experience has been that if I really need something and I decide to skip that day the very thing I needed was in the sermon. Yeah. Or in the Bible study. Very thing I needed. Instead, I went and washed the car or whatever. I don't know what I did. Well, I know one time on Day of Atonement, we just bought a new car. I just got it that evening, right before, barely making home for Atonement. And, oh, man, that's a beautiful car. I go out in the garage, and I'm just admiring this car. Looking inside it, it's just so beautiful. And the horn goes off inside the garage. This isn't just a horn. This car had two horns. I could not shut the horn off. I'm looking, I open the hood. Oh, I'll unplug it. Or I'll take the battery off. I take a battery off, it's still blowing. This car had two batteries. It was a diesel. I couldn't get the horn off. Great, great Day of Atonement. I'm out there trying to get a car to shut up. I was just having a little pleasure. Okay. But it is a new way. It's a new way not to be turned away from. Oh, there in verse 17, Deuteronomy 30, as we were reading. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear. You know what? Your heart turns away first before you do. Yeah, your heart's already turning away. You may still be going to church. You may still go in the feast. But if your heart's turned away, it's like a few years ago when we found out we didn't need to keep the Sabbath. It didn't matter if we ate pork chop. And I know you probably witnessed it. People immediately walked out that door and went to eat, had a pork chop. Now, I mean, the heart had already been turned, hadn't it? I mean, do you just somebody telling you that and all at once you believe it? Okay. See, your heart turns first. That's what you got to be watching about, be sure and you keep the oil up. And you take advantage of what God gives you every day. Every day means choosing life, choosing a way of life apart from sin. And that has to be done every day. You know, awake out of sleep is Romans chapter 13. You know, I should turn there. Romans chapter 13. Yes, Romans chapter 13. Because there's a couple of scriptures there that should be read. Romans 13, verse 10. Wake out of sleep. Romans 13, verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing that the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. The virgins woke up. But I think Paul's telling them, you need to wake up before it's too late. Before you run out of oil, wake up. For now is salvation nearer than when we first believed. That's got to be a true statement. It's got to be nearer than when we first believed. I mean, I first believed 1967 or 64. It's a lot closer. And in chapter 14, just over in verse 23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. Whatever is from not of faith is sin. So whatever it is, if we don't have faith, we need to find out for sure and be sure that we have faith in what we're doing. So we can look forward to that trumpet blast. We can look forward to it. We don't need to be scared and upset. Ooh, I don't know. I don't think I'll make it. I just don't think I can do it. We can't be half-hearted. Let's look at 2 Timothy, if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy. It's here. I've seen it before in the Bible. I know that book is in here. It's probably this particular brand. What is this? I don't want to buy that again. They've leaved out scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's it. Have we fought a good fight? Have we kept the faith? Or are we just sleeping through it? It's easy to do. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. What day is that? That's that day of that trumpet. Or the day that we die. Same thing at that trumpet. On that day, not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. If we love God's appearing, we're not afraid of it. We're prepared for it. We have the oil and we're ready for it. You know, so it's a crown of righteousness. Brethren, are we listening? Are we growing in grace and knowledge, understanding? That's just a question we can ask and evaluate it. As long as we judge ourselves and evaluate ourselves, are we satisfied spiritually? So I say, prepare now for the sound of the trumpet. We don't want to keep waiting if we have been. We all do at times. Now is the time to really get to know your Creator. We want to get to know our Creator because we want Him to recognize us, don't we? When He comes, we don't want Him to say, I never knew you. We want Him to recognize Him. So get to know our Creator now.